Would you please kneel with me in a word of prayer? Our most kind and loving Father, we again desire to come before Thee at this time, desiring to thank Thee, Lord, for the many blessings of life, for this beautiful day in which You've given us, and for the time in which we are able to spend one with another. Oh, Father, I'm thankful where You've heard our prayers and that Your Spirit has been with us. And I ask and pray that it would continue to be with us now as our brother would stand before us to speak Thy word. Prepare our hearts and our minds, Father, to receive that beautiful word of Thine, that we might be able to apply it to our lives, that it would be a strength and food for us, that, O Lord, we would grow in the knowledge of Thee. Father, I ask that You forgive us, and where we have sinned before Thee, and where we fall short of Thy expectations, that You would strengthen us and gird us up against the things that lie before us. Oh, Father, we do ask and pray that You might be mindful of those who were mentioned this day and the grievous burdens and the problems and the trials that are upon Thy children. We ask that You might comfort each in those particular needs. Oh, Father, we do pray that Your love would abide within our hearts and that we might truly be Thy children. And we ask and pray these things, giving Thee thanks in all things, in the holy, blessed name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Follow me, follow me. brother started out getting rather personal, you know. So I guess I'd have to share a little story that I share a few years back. So really, white hair and not much of it has got some benefits. One day in my missionary travels, probably 11, 12 years ago, maybe 11, something like that, I'd went with some of the mothers to buy some Bibles or look at different church literature. And after we'd completed that part of it, they had to do some shopping, and they left me with a little three-year-old daughter in the car to kind of look over. And she went to going through my hair and rubbing her hand upon this white hair I had, and she reached up and she says, "Oh my goodness, you got a black hair." And then she looked at me so sweetly and said, "I hope your hair never turns black." So let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if I can please the little children, and I don't have to worry about the rest, I even find this out. If the little children like you, even their parents kind of think a little more of you. So there's a lot of benefits in these things. All too rapidly, our reunion passes away. It seems only yesterday that we entered this here chapel, and now we're in the final service. It hardly seems possible that all this time has already passed away, and we'll soon be going our individual ways. A few weeks ago, some thoughts came to me that I thought I would like to present somewhere in a sermon. There came to me a great concern for the people of the Church of Christ. Not alone them, but for those about us. And one of my great concerns was this, that we each might endure what yet lies ahead. And I want to speak toward that end tonight, for I feel it is important, after we have sat here through several sermons of this reunion, and likewise, we have heard the testimonies, we've listened to the prayers, the earnest requests by some. There is great need that we prayed for. There is a lot of other great needs that we did not pray for. The task before us is beyond our imagination. But the Lord in times past accomplished great and marvelous works with just a handful of people. It don't take masses, but it takes the power of God. And that's what is important. But there are things prophesied of our day that will be very trying to our nature. I'm going to touch upon some of them this evening. And I want us to think upon these things. But the one concern I had is that we might endure to the end. And there is a lot of scriptures that indicate the importance of enduring to the end. And those having accomplished this, the benefits are beyond any benefit you will have in this life, in this mortal life. I would like to turn at this time to the book of Alma, the 18th chapter. And I'd like to read verse 2. This is found on page 443. Now, this is the advice of a father to his son. It was Alma to his son Shiblon. And he says, "Now, my son, I trust that I shall have great joy in you." And I want you to listen to this. I want you young children to listen to this. And I want you little children and you young people to listen to it, as well as the mothers and fathers and every adult in this group. I want you to listen to what I have to say here. And I want to read it again. "And now, my son, I trust that I shall have great joy in you because of your steadiness." Listen to that. your faithfulness unto God. For as you have commenced in your youth to look to the Lord your God, even so I hope that you will continue keeping His commandments. For blessed is he that endureth to the end. And I hope that verse rings in your ears. You have heard others say, memorize this, keep it in your memory, at least the intent of it. Now I want to back up to verse 1, and I want to go through the first 5 verses. But I wanted to get that as an opening remark, and I wanted to kind of channel our thoughts in a certain way. My son, give ear to my words. For I say unto you, even as I said unto Helaman, that inasmuch as you keep the commandments of God, ye shall prosper in the land. And inasmuch as you will not keep the commandments of God, ye shall be cast off from His presence. And maybe I better read this one verse I just read again, so it might flow through smoothly. And now, my son, I trust that I shall have great joy in you because of your steadiness and your faithfulness unto God. For as you have commenced in your youth to look for the Lord your God, even so I hope that you will continue keeping His commandments, for blessed is he that endureth to the end. So that's telling all you young, it's telling we who are older, the importance of keeping the commandments. It is telling us to be steady in it. It is telling us to look forward with faith. I say unto you, my son, that I have great joy in thee already because of thy faithfulness. Now that's kind of a nice thing for a father to say to his son. Son, I have joy in you because of your faithfulness. And thy diligence, yeah, you're trying. I have joy in you, son, because you're trying. I want to just sidetrack a moment. We heard a couple little piano recitals, and they were nice. And I want to tell those two young ladies, even though you might miss one note somewhere, keep trying. Don't be discouraged. You two young children did a marvelous job. And Alma had this to say. He had joy in his son because of his patience. Now, I'll tell you what, this son must have been a kind of a remarkable son. Faithfulness, diligent, and patient. That's what he wants each one of us to likewise be. And thy long suffering among the people of the Zoramites. Now, I want you to listen to this. For I know that thou wast in bonds. Here was a son that went over among the Zoramites, and he was all tied up, and he was in bonds. Now, that wouldn't be so funny if we were sitting here all bound tonight, but not in a church service, but maybe in a prison somewhere. It wouldn't be near as nice. But here was a son that was faithful in his bonds. And I also know that thou wast stoned for the word's sake. Stone means he had rocks thrown at him. And I'll tell you what, when those things isn't soft like a rubber ball when it cracks, you'll lick. And here Shiblon was steady. He was patient in all this. And thou didst bear all these things with patience, because the Lord was with thee. Now, what is that saying? When the Lord is with you, you can bear up under these things. And we've heard of some that had trials here during this reunion. We prayed for those that have trials and problems. But with the Lord is with you, you can bear up. A sister who is afraid of flying, and maybe a lot of others, but she said the Lord was with her. Well, I'll tell you what, with him with you, you really can't beat it. And now thou knowest that the Lord did deliver thee. And now, my son Shiblon, I would that ye should remember that as much as ye will put your trust in God, even so much as ye shall be delivered out of your trials and your troubles and your afflictions, and ye shall be lifted up at the last day. Now really, if I went through these first five verses here and left that with you, there's a message there. But I'm not going to do that. But anyway, I want to build upon these five verses tonight. And I back up here to this one. I hope that you will continue in keeping His commandments. And I want to turn now to the second Nephi, the 13th chapter, on page 161. Nephi was a man after mine own heart. He really had a lot of things for us. And I appreciate so much his sentiments and the words that he wrote. And I just want to bring out a few of his words tonight. The 13th chapter and the 3rd through the 5th verses. Wherefore the things which I have written sufficeth me, said Nephi of old, save it be a few words which I must speak concerning the doctrine of Christ. And I just read the importance of keeping his commandments. Wherefore I shall speak unto you plainly, according to the plainness of my prophesying. And I hope this night that I too might speak plainly according to your understanding, whether you be young or old, that this might sink deeply in your heart. For I feel I have some things that are important for us to consider and to remember. For my soul delighteth in plainness. For after this manner doth the Lord God work among the children of men. After this manner doth he work. I requested a hymn tonight. My goodness, I turned to the wrong one. This one, 293, that we opened with. Gently he will lead us on in the heavenly way till we reach the happy home where the angels stay. And here it says, the Lord God doth work after this manner in plainness, in gentleness. For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding, for he speaketh unto men according to their language, unto their understanding. And I hope and pray I can do that very thing this night. 2 Nephi 14, turn a page, is all you got to do. Verse 4 through 6. I want you to listen closely to these. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. It is important that we partake fully of the words of Christ, for they will tell us all things what we should do. And then you heard, even during this reunion, sometimes there's problems arise, some things we don't understand. Let's read the answer from verse 5. Wherefore now, after I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because you ask not, neither do you knock. So we got a commandment, if we don't understand, to ask and to knock. And if we don't do this, it says, wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. But if you do do it, you will get light. And then he goes on to say, for behold, again I say unto you, if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things what ye should do. So there is some benefits by entering the waters of baptism. There is some benefits of having the hands laid onto you for the reception of the Holy Ghost. Because once you have entered in by the way, which is repentance and baptism, and received a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost, it says, once you've entered in by the way and received the Holy Ghost will show unto you all things what ye should do. But we have to continue in the way that Christ wants us to live. And so Alma had pleasure and joy in his son, who was steady and faithful and diligent and kept the commandments of Jesus Christ. And don't you think that your heavenly Father has joy in you when you do this? This back up to verse 27 and verse in chapter 13 on the other page, 162. And now, my beloved brethren, after you've gotten on this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were for the word of Christ. That's what brings people to the waters of baptism. With unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save, and that is Jesus Christ. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. That's what is required of each one of us. And listen to this verse, truly a beautiful verse. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. What a beautiful promise this is for those who will press forward. I would like to turn over to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want us to think upon some of these things. I made a statement earlier that I become very concerned for our people and perhaps their ability to endure what yet lay ahead. And there is going to be a lot of trying things take place. But those who rely upon Jesus Christ and place their trust in him shall stand. Jesus had this to say in the 21st verse of the 24th chapter. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And the thing I wanted to especially touch on, it said it would be a day of tribulation. We have listened to the testimonies. We have been prayer service at various times this year, in which we have prayed for those with great needs. This is unfolding upon us. And especially in the last few years, it has unfolded to a greater degree than it had in the past. I have watched it firsthand. I want to go down to another verse now and verse 12 of this same chapter. And note this, This is what is unfolding before our eyes. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That beautiful love will wax cold because of iniquity upon the face and breadth of our land. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If we back up a little earlier in this same chapter to the fourth verse, it said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." That's another phase of the things that would be in the day of the time of the end, of the last days, whichever you want to call it. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So when we think of this, deception is something we got to be aware of. Verse 11 says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." So we must be alert and aware of what has taken place upon the faith and breadth of our land, upon this world in which we live. And then it gave a lot of other things that would take place here. It spoke of a time of wars and rumors of wars. It spoke of a time of earthquakes and famine and pestilences upon the face of this earth. And as Luke put it, there would be great earthquakes. There would be great signs from the heaven. And he mentioned also that there would be a very distressing time among nations, a time of great distress upon the land. And men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after the things that was coming upon the face of the earth. I bring these things out because they will be fulfilled before our eyes. But if our hope and stay is upon Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father, we need not fear, even though fearful things take place. The Apostle Paul likewise saw some of these things, and I turned to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, found in the first five verse. And he said to those people of old and to Timothy, he says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." So it indicated it would be a time of peril. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." We read some others, and we'll read here that they'll have without natural affection. That they'd be covetous, that they'd be boasters, that they'd be proud. So if we see pride entering our midst, we better be careful. Because it's one of the perils that will be in the last days. If we go to boasting in our talents, in our abilities, in our possessions, be careful. It said that would be one of the perils of the last days. Boasting. Another thing, and listen to this, you children. Disobedient to parents. It's one of the perils of the last days. Oh, it's true. These things have been around a long time. We know that. But the incidence of them will increase in this time. It would be a time when people would be unthankful and unholy. It's being unfolded before our eyes. There's scripture after scripture that tells us to be a thankful people. When we receive from the Lord, we thank Him. Like one of them in the Book of Mormon told his son, "When you lay down at night, lay down unto the Lord, asking to watch over you in your sleep. And when you arise in the morning, you thank the Lord because He did it." So when we pray for things, let us not be slow to thank Him. Because one of the perils of our day is those who are unthankful, Don't forget it. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, there will be a moral laxity in that day that precedes the second coming of Jesus Christ. One of the perils of the last days, fierce and despisers of those that are good. And really, we may have suffered some persecution, but let me tell you that there could be a lot more come. There might be a day when we get maybe even rocks thrown at us. There might be a day when we suffer far more grievously than we are today. So today, let's prepare ourselves that we might know instantly to where we will turn in a time of great need. I have had times, one time, in a great need physically. Seemed like I was about to even pass out. And I cried, God help me. And I began to stabilize, and as gradually He helped me, I could utter a prayer. I couldn't have said no more than that. But He heard my honest request, and He interceded in my behalf. I could tell you a lot more of the experience, but I think that is suffice. Traitors, it'd be a day of traitors, one of the perils. Heady, which is violent. High-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's one of the perils of our day. Our people upon the face of this nation have become so involved in pleasurable items, including sports, movies, and all this, it is taking much of their time. Now we know some pleasure, if it's clean pleasure, is all right. But one of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. And so how careful we must be. It is easy to sit down and maybe watch something for 2 or 3 hours on a TV. But after a while, that 2 or 3 hours are gone. I know I can speak from firsthand witness of that. But the time is gone, and I could have better spent it another way. And you each can answer the own question for your own self. There be those, when the perils of the last days, that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. So listen to these words, and note them. In the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, and most of you know what I turn to, only a part of the first verse I really want to touch upon. He tells of a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So let me tell you, it is important that you gather together in this type of meeting. It is important that you speak one to another. I guess we better read that. And I never intended to tonight. Malachi 3:16. Because I feel it really is a part of what we should do. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they are those who will be His when He makes up His jewels. And don't forget that. And Daniel was told here to shut up the book and shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So really, I feel that first verse is one pertaining to the time of the end. For certainly, knowledge is being increased. It's beyond my ability to even understand it fully. When you take a little tiny thing this big and literally store thousands and thousands of things upon it. It looks like they would get messed up after a while, but they don't. That's some of our modern knowledge. Don't let me tell you, if they pull the juice, you're in trouble. And it says, many shall run to and fro. And my goodness, that's really being fulfilled before our eyes. So let us be alert to the day in which we live. I want to turn to the book of Alma now, the 17th chapter, on page 436. And I'd like to read verses 25 and 26, and maybe even 27. Here was a man who was brought back from a serious condition. He was one as going about with all the fervency of his soul to destroy the church. But to start with, he was raised by a God-fearing father. But he erred, and the four sons of Mosiah, they went about with all their power to destroy the church of God. They had a marvelous experience that changed every one of them, and they decreed to spend the rest of their life in the service of the Lord to trying undoing some of the things that they had done that were wrong. And he was a man that knew how the power of God works. And he says, verse 25, and I have been supported under trials and troubles of every kind. Now, did that say you weren't going to have any trials or troubles? Did it say that? He said, I have been supported under them. And he's been supported in all manner of afflictions. He even had afflictions. God has delivered me from prison and from bonds and from death. Pretty good, I would say. Yea, and I do put my trust in him. Listen to that. And he will still deliver me. We heard about some negative and some positive charges. That is positive. I will put my trust in him, and he's going to deliver me. That's nice, isn't it? And let me tell you, he will. And I know that he will raise me up at the last day to dwell with him in glory. Yea, and I will praise him forever, for he has brought our fathers out of Egypt, and he has swallowed up the Egyptians in the Red Sea, and he hath led them by his power into the promised land. Yea, and he has delivered them out of bondage and captivity from time to time. The house of Israel had marvelous things done for them. And he has also brought our fathers out of the land of Jerusalem. He knew that this was a fact. And he has also, by his everlasting power, delivered them out of bondage and captivity from time to time, even down to the present day. His everlasting power. There's another one I'd like to turn to. 1 Nephi, the 3rd chapter, and I'll give you the verses on it when I find them. I never really figured to use it, but I think I should. On page 40, and I'd like to start with verse 229. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of all the earth, among all the nations of the Gentiles, to fight against the Lamb of God. Now, let me tell you, that's a thing that's going to shortly unfold before our eyes. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord who were scattered upon the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and the power of God in great glory. I just read about His everlasting power. That's why I turn to this. They will be armed with righteousness. So it is important that we keep the commandments of Jesus Christ fully and completely and become armed with righteousness. It says that's the way they will survive. And the power of God in great glory. I would like to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. This is one again of the Apostle Paul. And I chose this. Some of them said they had had afflictions in life. He says, I've been delivered from afflictions, but this is one that didn't happen to be. And I'd like to read in the 12th chapter in verses 7 through 10. And just kind of imagine him years ago reading this beautiful scripture or causing it to be written. And lest I should be exalted above measure. No room for boasting, is there? Through the abundance of the revelations, he was a person that gave a lot of revelations. And that might cause a person, an incarnation, human error, to become lifted up. There was given unto me, Paul said, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So he was given a thorn in the flesh that he might not be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. So three times he besought the Lord that he might have this removed from him. That it might depart from me, he said. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So if you have some afflictions as you try to do certain things, don't feel too bad. This brother of old had this. He prayed to the Lord three times to get rid of it. The Lord chose to leave it with him. And as a result, he says, I glory in my infirmities. Now, that sounds a little different than some people. Sometimes we're inclined to kind of gripe about what's happened to us. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, that again is a bit different. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. I take pleasure in persecutions, Paul said. In distresses, for Christ's sake. Weak, then I am strong. Oh, it seems like one scripture comes to another. This and two, I didn't choose to write down. But I must read it from the 5th chapter of the book of Ether. Found on page 748, and I'm just going to read one verse, verse 28. I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. It's a nice statement for the ministry. It's a nice statement for every member of the Church of Christ. It's a nice statement for those who have yet to make the commitment. I'd like to turn to the book of James, the 5th chapter. I would just like to read verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord
for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. So we read this here, and to me, it has a nice ring to it, we might say. He says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, and they are an example of suffering affliction and of patience. We take over here in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, and the first 5 verses. A lot of times we have much concerning faith in our life. And this is one that starts out along that line. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace is important. That peace that passeth all understanding is vital in our lives. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. And we can read in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we won't turn there, but it tells us of the importance of faith. And in the 6th verse it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so by faith we have access into this grace where we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And if we noted this here, it shows, according to Paul, and he was a first-hand witness of this, tribulations work patience. It is important to have patience. And patience, you get experience. You don't get it just by suddenly saying it's there. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Back again to James 5, in the 11th verse. Behold, we count them happy which endure. So it is important to endure. Though the trials may be great, with the help of God we can endure, and the help of Jesus Christ. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and that's a rather marvelous book to read, but I won't go into it tonight. But he had patience. Now I'll tell you what, if we had all those things heaped upon us where he couldn't even sit down, you know, those boils weren't too funny. You know, he had patience. He lost all his family. But his second estate, he was given unto him double what he had before. So, and you've heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the ends of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. It didn't say there wouldn't be any temptation in this life. It's going to be around you as long as you live. And I don't care who you are or where you are. That temptation is going to be not far away. But what does it say? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, and you're going to be tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So that promise is there. Those that love him shall receive the crown of life. The book of Mosiah, the first chapter, page 215. And you might guess, I've used this before, even at reunion sermons. But my goodness, I hope you never tire of King Benjamin. 86. O ye old men. Well, it's getting kind of personal, but then that's it. And also, ye young men, and you little children. Really getting personal, isn't it? Who can understand my words? For I've spoken plain unto you that you might understand. And I'm not going to go into all that he spoke here, because I might have to call Brother Lusson up to start some administering, see? Anyway, what is important here, that he taught them the way of life. He gave them the commandments that was important for them to follow. And he says, he's spoken plain unto them that ye might understand. And that was one of my desires when I started this sermon, that I might speak in plainness. I pray that ye should awake. And listen to this. I pray that ye should awake to the remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression or followed the wrong path, the broad way. It's an awful thing. And moreover, but listen to this. I would desire that ye should consider on the blessed and happy state. Now that sounds much better, don't it? That is real positive and nice. Of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. So I find that that is really a wonderful, beautiful promise. So in this life, there may be some trials and burdens. We sung another song tonight. Stretch out your hand. The fourth verse, the first line. Don't let me stray from that path, dear Lord, with burdens too heavy to bear. Just stretch out your dear hand to me, my Lord, and keep me in thy tender care. And so it is. A lot of times we stray from that path with burdens too heavy to bear. Why? Because we didn't go to the Lord. Because we didn't place our trust completely in him. He careth for you. We must not forget that. And I want to read another in here, too. Well, I'll save that till after I've read one final scripture from Revelations 21. The seventh verse. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now, can you imagine what all things are? None of us can, but it must be pretty good. All things, good things. And I will be his God. Sounds pretty good to me. And he shall be my son. Verse 4. And this is a thing I really like the sound of. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a beautiful thing that is, unfolded before our eyes. The song we sang to start with. Jesus is the friend to trust. As in doubt we go, knowing what the path to take, traveling here below. And then it says, gently, he will lead us on in the heavenly way till we reach the happy home where the angels stay. You know, I love this song. And I love to hear you sing it tonight. It was nice. All our many troubles here, love like his can soothe. It's got a message for us. Every rough place in our path, he will gently smooth. All too often, we're too harsh, we're too hard. Gentleness, brothers and sisters. Tenderness. If we heed his gentle call, trusting in his love, he will bring us safe at last to that home above. Gently he will lead us on in the heavenly way till we reach the happy home where the angels stay.
This place, that you would watch over each and every one of the souls that are here. Go with them in their lives as they have been renewed by thee, that their light would shine as bright as the noonday before all the world. Father, I pray that you would return us quickly again back into each one of our presence to enjoy another time as we have had this time. And we give thee the honor and the glory in the holy name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.